There was such a disparity between the busiest district and the slowest district that we weren't maximizing our officers, we weren't maximizing our resources. And it's been very clear that we have one mission, one goal, one message, and that is to reduce crime.
How would redistricting help bring crime down?
The first thing is as I said, we balance the workload between officers. The disparity between the busiest district and the slowest district was about 90,000 calls. That's huge. The officers with the more calls were running, didn't have time to stop for coffee. The officers in the slower district probably could be used a little more effectively. And we've given each captain what they've been asking for. Each district commander wanted additional resources to hotspot police, to go block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, and really weed out as much crime as we possibly can. That's why we wanted to do it.
Your predecessor talked in 2012 about doing a similar move in terms of a cost-cutting context. How much of a role did cost-cutting or expenses of policing play in making the decision to look at this and ultimately change the districts?
I try not to let the economics impact the decisions that we make. There have been some command positions that have been eliminated. Nobody's been fired. Nobody's been laid off. But through attrition, those command positions will be reinvested back in to the police officer rank, the blue shirts that people see on the street. And we think that we'll be able to fight crime much more efficiently.
So what will change for somebody who calls 911 and needs police service?
The good news is just about absolutely nothing. I view police work as a service, and we've been very conscious about keeping that level of service. Response times, number of officers in the district, number of two-person cars in a district. That'll all be seamless and transparent. It's really not about cost savings. It's really not about showing the public anything different. What it is about is being able to reduce crime.
And you talk about balancing the calls for service throughout the various districts. And how much balance is there in sort of the type of crime that you're dealing with versus like a homicide versus a car break-in, for example?
Crime isn't predictable, unfortunately. If it was, we would be a lot better off. But what we see is that the resources in those districts are going to be able to handle that crime. We also have the citywide units, the mobile reserve unit, the SWAT unit, the special operations unit, to be able to go in and supplement districts where we see problems. We're going to continue to do hotspot policing at a district level and at a city level.
Are you at all concerned about, with officers perhaps moving to different districts or in different areas of the city, breaking relationships that they may have started to form with those in their neighborhoods?
No district is getting 100% new officers. There's always going to be that knowledge base there. But we also redistributed the talent a little bit to some districts that may not have had those officers that had that forte or that type of experience. So we were very thoughtful. Yes, there were some officers that were moved. There are some neighborhoods that will see new faces, but we've tried to redistribute the talent throughout the city as well.
How will you know if redistricting has been successful?
Very early on, I'll be able to tell what's happening with crime. I'll be able to tell if people feel safer, and then I'll hear from our community partners. I've pledged the department to look at this every 10 years, every time there's new census data, but there's nothing that says in 6 months or a year when we look at the landscape again that we might not make some tweaks and some adjustments to this that make sense.